Baghdad, Martinique, Singapore. At all the places of the world where danger and intrigue walk hand in hand, there you will find Steve Mitchell on another dangerous assignment. Dangerous Assignment, starring Lloyd Burrell as Steve Mitchell.
Yeah, danger is my assignment. I get sent to a lot of places I can't even pronounce. They all spell the same thing, though, trouble. But when I walk into the commissioner's office, I don't realize this assignment's going to prove that sometimes the best way to get a pal out of a trap is to get chased into it yourself. Morning, Commissioner. You sent for me?
Steve, one of our agents is in trouble. Rick Perez.
Oh? What's happened to him?
Well, because of his Spanish ancestry and his knowledge of Latin America, he's seen the logical choice, the man to investigate those reports we've been getting on the Caribbean Legion.
Caribbean Legion?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I've heard about it. They're training and arming men to lead revolts in the countries of Central and South America.
Yeah. Well, Rick managed to work his way into the organization, has kept in touch with us through a contact he established in Caracas, Venezuela. He kept in touch, that is, until a week ago. Then silence.
Well, that doesn't necessarily mean he's in a jam, Commissioner.
Well, last night, Perez's contact, a man named Emilio Roja, received a message supposedly from Perez, saying that he was hiding out in a village called Puerto Mantego, that he needed help.
So the Legion got wise and Perez is holed up, huh?
Or being held a prisoner.
Prisoner? You mean the message could be a trap?
Right. Now, suppose they only suspect Perez is an agent.
Yeah. So we answer his call for help, send someone down to Puerto Montego. The minute that someone walks into town, they know for sure. End of Rick Perez.
Exactly.
But suppose he really did send the message. He's hiding out and needs help.
Well, that's possible, too. In either case, Steve, you've got to handle this very carefully. One slip-up on your part may cost Perez his life.
Right, Commissioner.
Well, you've got to get into Puerto Montego without arousing any suspicion to who you are and why you're there. Find Rick Perez and get him safely away. Well, that's it, Steve. You've got your assignment. Good luck.
I've got my assignment. Fly down to Venezuela and get to one of our agents, Rick Perez, who's in a jam. And we hope on the trail of a subversive outfit known as the Caribbean Legion. Well, it's late Friday afternoon when my plane lands in Caracas, and I head straight for a rendezvous with our contact there, a gent named Emilio Roja. A dozen or more tourists armed with travel folders, guide books, and cameras comes strolling out of the cathedral as I hurry up the steps. I move through the huge arched entryway, then inside.
Senor?
Huh? Oh, hello. Looks like I'm a little late for the guided tour, huh?
Yes, a pity. Still, there is always tomorrow.
Well, unfortunately, I won't be in town. I have business at Puerto Montego.
A charming village. I know it well. You have friends there?
A business associate.
This way, Senor Mitchell, into the corridor. We can talk there.
Sure you weren't followed, Roja?
Positive.
I don't suppose you've had any word from Perez.
No word at all. Here, this will do. I will leave the door open slightly so that we may watch the entryway.
You happen to have that note Perez sent you?
No, I burned the message immediately I received it. You are wondering about the handwriting, eh? I cannot say. Perez and I never exchanged written messages.
Tell me, Roja. Have you any idea why he went up to Puerto Montego?
10 days ago, after he had attended a meeting of the Caribbean Legion, he told me there was talk of supplies and a boatload of new men arriving from Guatemala.
That ship might have put in at Puerto Montego?
Yes, Perez might have been sent to meet it. Someone aboard might have recognized him or suspected he was with your government.
And now he's a prisoner, or hiding out.
A prisoner, senor? Not one for long, I'm afraid. They would kill him in a moment if there was the slightest reason to suspect him.
I don't know, Roa. If they thought he was valuable to their organization, they might hesitate to do away with him. They'd want to know for certain. It would affect their future plans.
Yes, I see your point.
How far is Puerto Montego from here?
About 20 miles down the coast. Population under 200.
Yeah, not good. A stranger in town, it'd stick out like a sore thumb. Perth spent most of his time here in Caracas, didn't he?
Yes, most of the time.
Where'd he hang out? Any place in particular?
A nightclub and gambling house called the Mercapayo. It is run by a French woman, a Mademoiselle Simonette.
Yeah, sort of a headquarters for the Legion, is it?
For the Legion and their various enterprises. All manner of business is conducted there, senor. Black market, counterfeiting, stolen goods.
Yeah.
You see, when a branch of this Legion is established in a country, it must learn to support itself.
I see. Well, that's very interesting, Roja. You know, it sort of fits in with a little idea I've had in the back of my mind. If I could pick up the right information and certain props to work with, yeah, it might work out just fine. A half hour later, I'm at police headquarters, sitting in the office of Colonel Villara. I give him a fast fill-in on what I'm up to and what I'll need. He listens to what I have to say and then leans back in his chair and takes a long pull at his cigar. He blows a series of smoke rings toward the ceiling, beauties all of them. Then he leans forward.
This is highly irregular, Senor Mitchell. You understand this?
However, if you insist... I'd like your department's cooperation, Colonel Villara.
Very well. I will see to it that you get what you ask.
And don't forget the souped-up jalopy.
The souped-up...
The car. I'm going to be in a race I don't want to lose.
You see, of course...
You look a little puzzled, Colonel.
I am, senor. I still fail to see how all this is going to...
Look, the chances of my slipping into Puerto Montego unnoticed are pretty slim. Now, if these boys see me snooping around, they add two and two, and they knock off Perez.
See?
So instead of my sneaking into town, I'm going to try to arrange for them to chase me into Puerto Montego. But I've got to sell them a bill of goods first. One, that I'm not a special agent, and two, that my arrival in town has nothing to do with Perez.
I see. And that, then, is the purpose of your visit to the Maracaibo Club.
Right. Now, I need an entree at the club, a name I can toss around.
Someone known to them, and preferably someone out of circulation.
Well, Roja suggested a gent named Brobo.
Excelente. A well-known criminal in the Caribbean area, now serving 10 years in prison.
Frequent visitor at the club when he was in town, and when he wasn't in Caracas, he'd be in Cuba or Haiti, Puerto Rico, Jamaica, or Trinidad.
See.
I could have met him in any of those places.
I would suggest Trinidad. He spent a good deal of time there.
Yeah. Do you happen to have a file on Brobo?
See, a rather complete history of the man.
Good. I want to know all there is to know about friend Brobo. They're bound to ask questions at the club, and I want to be sure I have the right answers. An hour later, I check into the hotel, and shortly after 8 that night, I wander over to the Maracaibo Club. Peel a few bills from a very fat bankroll, spread them around where they'll do the most good, also drop Brobo's name a couple of times. Pretty soon, I'm admitted to the plush gambling layout upstairs. My luck is all bad, and I drop a nice chunk of dough. Meanwhile, I keep my eyes open for the lady known as Mademoiselle Simonette. Finally, she puts in an appearance. High voltage in a black, low-cut evening gown. She tosses a quick glance around the room and then moves from one game to another. Finally, she winds up standing next to me at the roulette table. I step back to make room.
No, please, monsieur. Do continue. I am only a spectator.
Yeah, I wish that's all I was.
Bad luck?
Never been worse.
Perhaps the dice table.
You recommend it?
Why not?
Right. But I could use a drink first.
On the heart, I insist.
Thanks, mademoiselle.
You have been here before, monsieur?
Mitchell. No. This is my first time. An old friend recommended the place.
Bravo.
Yeah.
I heard you mention his name earlier at the bar. How is he?
Unhappy. The penal colony doesn't agree with him.
Unfortunate, wasn't he?
Yeah, had a nice little deal going at the time, too.
His wife? How did she take it?
Philippa? Ooh, not grieving very much. He left her a comfortable income. That haul out of Cuba last year netted him a nice hunk of dough.
I see. Does she still run the dress shop?
Yes, I dropped in to see her just before I left Trinidad.
You must give her my warmest regards on your return.
I'm not going back.
Oh?
That is, if I can make other arrangements.
What sort of arrangements?
I'd like to get to the States if I could.
Why should that be difficult for you?
Oh, they're sort of fussy up there about passports and things.
You are not an American?
Canadian. Yeah, the bar seems to be a little crowded.
A table over here, Monsieur Mitchell. I will send you a waiter.
Thanks. Why not join me?
Why not?
I dropped the matter of the passport for the present because I don't want to rush things. That seems to be all right with Mademoiselle because she finally steers the conversation around to Brovo again. She's playing it cautiously, checking on me. I fill in with the right answers. Finally, I draw an invitation to continue our little chat in the privacy of her office. She excuses herself to greet some of her guests, and I wander on back alone to the inner sanctum. So far, everything is working out fine. Yeah, until I open the office door. There's a little gent comfortably settled in a chair. He bounces out of it the second he sees me, and a gun suddenly appears in his mitt.
Well, if it ain't Mr. Mitchell.
Hello, Deacon.
Fancy you strolling in here.
Oh, we all have our bad days.
Come on in, Mr. Mitchell. Come on in. Well, Mr. Mitchell, Mr. Steve Mitchell.
So you've remarked a couple of times.
What brings you around, if I might ask?
I was about to conduct a little transaction. What are you doing here, Deacon?
Making things a bit complicated for you, I'd say.
Yes, you're right at that. Running into you has complicated things.
A shame. A real shame. That's what it is.
How come you're still running around, Deacon? I'd have thought you'd be under lock and key by this time.
Not me, pal. Not Albert Deacon. But you tried hard enough to put me away, didn't you?
Well, I got the boys I was after and left the small fry like you to the local law.
Small fry no longer, Mr. Mitchell. Sit down.
Well, I like standing. They say it helps you to grow.
I'd rather see you being comfortable. Go on, sit down, and don't make any funny moves, or this little pop gun goes off, see?
I think I get the picture.
This little transaction you mentioned, it's with Mademoiselle?
Could be.
Good. She'll be along in a minute, I suppose.
Could be.
And we'll just sit here and wait until she comes, hmm?
What's so funny, Deacon?
I'm just thinking how interested Mademoiselle's gonna be when she knows she's entertaining a special agent. You know, I think she might turn on a party for you, Mitchell. A real special party.
And now, back to Dangerous Assignment and Steve Mitchell.
Well, at this point, it looks like I'm cooked. Just when I'm starting to do all right with Mademoiselle Simonette, I wander into her office and find myself face to face with a seamy little character named Deacon, whom I tangled with several years ago. Needless to say, he recognizes me and pulls a gun.
Maka! Come into my office a minute. It's Simonette. She's coming in. Deacon moves to open the door with a big grin and takes his eyes off me a second. That's when I make my move. I grab his wrist up first.
Mitchell! No, thanks for the gun.
There. It's in my pocket, Deacon. He pointed at you. One peep out of you and you're dead.
Oh, hello, Deacon.
Small world, Simonette. Imagine me running into an old buddy like this.
You and Deacon know each other?
Oh, we're old friends. Isn't that right, Deacon?
Yeah. That's right.
Good. This is Marka, Mr. Mitchell. He works for me.
Marka? Mitchell?
Those papers I wanted you to take, Marka, over there on my desk.
Yes.
Yes, those are the ones.
I will see you later. Well, do I pass inspection, Simonette?
Inspection? What do you mean?
Marker. He's your muscle man, isn't he?
Why, yes. But I just wanted him to pick up some papers and...
And give me a looking over.
You don't miss a trick, do you, Steve?
I can't afford to.
Well, I better be getting along.
Oh, no, Deacon. Stick around. Hardly had a chance to say hello. Wouldn't think of letting you shove off so soon.
Yeah, but I...
So what's the matter, Deacon? Something on your mind?
No.
Monsieur Mitchell, you mentioned earlier something about needing a passport.
Yeah. Look, I don't have time to beat around the bush. Simonette, I need it, and I need it bad. I've got the money to pay for it, and I think the fact I'm a friend of Brovo and also of Deacon here should entitle me to some consideration.
Perhaps. It would cost a lot of money.
Well, that can't be helped. I'm in no position to bargain. I'll pay whatever is asked.
All right. We have a small cobbler's shop not far from here where such matters are arranged. Marka can take you over there.
Wait a minute. I've got a better idea. Does Deacon here know where the place is?
Why, yes.
Then why don't you take me, Deacon? We can talk over old times on the way. Okay, Simonette?
Of course. Go ahead.
I hustle Deacon out of there before he can make a move. I make him take me to the cobbler's shop. In the back room, they take my picture and a half hour later hand me a passport. I peel off the money and pay them. Then I take Deacon to the house of my contact, Roja, who salts him away in his cellar.
He will be quite safe down there, Senor.
Good, Roja. I could have Colonel Valara put him under arrest, but one of Simonette's boys might possibly find out about it.
Yes, that would not be good. Senor Mitchell, I still do not understand what your plan is.
Right now, my plan is to go to my hotel room and wait.
For what?
For Marker and maybe another of Simonette's boys to show up. I think they should be there within 2 hours.
But what makes you so sure they will come to your room?
That money Colonel Valara furnished me, the money I used to pay for my phony passport.
What about it?
It's counterfeit.
What?
Yeah. You know, I think these boys are going to be real mad when they find their own phony dough shoved back on them. I go back to my hotel room and wait. My souped-up car is parked back in the alley. A half hour later, I spot Marker and another man pulling up in front of the hotel. I pick up my suitcase and go out into the hall like I'm leaving. They spot me from the bottom of the stairs.
There he is.
They start up the stairs at me. I heave my suitcase at them. They go down in a heap. I run back into my room, down the fire escape, into my car. The chase is on. So far, it's working out just right. I drive fast enough to keep out of range, but not fast enough to lose them. An hour later, I'm in Puerto Montego, the village where we think Perez is hiding. It's all of 2 blocks long. I raced through the town, then ditched my car at the far end behind one of the buildings. I circled back on foot and hide. Pretty soon, Marco and his buddy wore into sight and stop at a house on the outskirts of town. They run inside and come out again with two other guys. They all pile into the car and take off through the village, supposedly after me. So now I've located one of their headquarters. I ease up to the house. I can hear a voice from inside.
Maybe the two of us better look around the village in case this Mitchell doubles back.
It's Pereth talking. It's also my cue. I jerk open the door.
What? I've got him, Steve.
Brother, you certainly have, Pereth. Nothing like a beer bottle to lull a guy to sleep.
When Marker pulled in here a couple of minutes ago and said he was chasing a deadbeat named Mitchell, I remembered we once pulled a trick like this in Casablanca, wasn't it?
Yeah. I hoped you'd remember. When I heard you talking to your buddy here about the two of you, I knew the odds were in favor if he was the only other one here. They've been holding you prisoner, Rick?
Oh, not exactly, Steve, but they're watching me pretty closely. I think they were suspicious of me and checking up.
You didn't send that note to us by way of Rojas saying you were in trouble here and needed help?
No.
Yeah. And Simonette and the boys must have sent it. It was a trap, all right.
Yeah, but it didn't quite work the way they thought it would.
Oh. Now, look, we've got to move fast. When they come back here and find you flown the coop, they'll realize they were right about you. What have you found out so far about them?
Well, Simonette is the local ringleader of the Caribbean Legion, Steve. They train and outfit small groups of men, which they send into several South American countries to try and organize revolutions. Simonette has a list of the three-man cells which have been sent to each country. I know that. I saw it in her office at the club Maracaibo.
Then come on. We've got to get back to Simonette fast and grab that list.
See the club Maracaibo from this alley, Steve.
Yeah. Come on, we better... Hey, wait a minute. There goes Marker in the front door.
He didn't lose any time.
We're licked. He'll alert Simonette and she'll destroy the list.
I don't think so, Steve. I think they'll try and warn those three-man cells in each country first.
Uh-huh.
Well, they've got a radio transmitter hidden somewhere. I wasn't able to find out where.
Maybe it's right there inside Club Maracaibo.
No, I don't think so. I've spent a lot of time inside that dive. I think I would have spotted it.
Hey, look. Marker coming out the front door again.
Yeah, with the briefcase. Maybe he's on his way to their transmitter.
And maybe not. You tell him and I'll stick around here just in case they're trying to pull something on us. Pereth takes off after Marker, and I ease around to the back of the joint and wait in the shadows. Sure enough, a minute later, Simonette comes out the back door carrying an envelope. She crosses the alley and disappears into a warehouse. I follow her. Inside, I spot her starting up a flight of stairs. I catch up to her fast.
What? Steve!
I'll take that list, Simonette.
Let me go. Let go of me.
Hold it, me too.
Oh, hello, Marker. Guess you just took a little trip around the block, huh?
That's a good guess. Now, hand over that list.
He keeps coming at me up the stairs. Suddenly, I grab the rail and kick at his wrist. The gun goes flying. I lunge at him. He started struggling there on the stairs, each trying to get a grip on the other. I can feel his fingers getting on my throat, and I throw myself forward. We roll down the steps to the floor, and Marker's head connects with the cement.
Oh!
Marker! 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 You killed him.
He's just out for a while. Enough, Simonette.
Oh, no, you don't, Mr. Mitchell. Eh? Stand back.
What?
You are not kicking this gun out of my hand.
Quite a surprise packet, aren't you, Simonette? Are you sure
that I can kill a man? Yes, Mr. Steve Mitchell. I can kill a man and enjoy it when it's someone like you.
Sounds like I'm not too popular. And I don't think...
Stand back. Don't move. I'm going to kill you.
Steve, you all right?
Ooh, that was close. Yeah, I'm all right, but I wouldn't have been if you hadn't shot that gun out of her hand when you did.
Lucky if you all came back and...
Oh, no, Simonette. You're not leaving.
Let me go. Let me...
Just no use struggling. You haven't got a chance.
Let me go.
For that list we've got, the only place you and your outfit are going is out of business. For Keats.
Dangerous Assignment, starring Lloyd Burrell as Steve Mitchell. This is a Grace Gibson radio production directed by Lawrence H. Cecil. Be with us again next week, same time, when Steve Mitchell will embark on another Dangerous Assignment.